We are right in the middle of a wonderful prayer series. And we mentioned to you in the beginning that we're going to have five sessions. Five different people are going to minister on prayer. And so this morning we have Reverend Larry Brown. He's a Rhema USA graduate. Those are some of the first year students at Rhema that he's been teaching this week. When we went to Rhema, he was just finishing in 1989. And God has taken him all around the world. He's a full-time itinerant minister. God has used him and a number of folks to raise up an incredible Bible school in Ethiopia that has graduated thousands of ministers there. And so he has been teaching here at Rhema for the last 2 weeks. And not only is he he's a great teacher, but he is a person of prayer. And so what he's going to be sharing with you today is what he lives and what he believes. And so we trust that this will be another way for us to learn and to operate in wonderful New Testament prayer. So could you give a big, big warm welcome to Reverend Larry Brown?
Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be here in Zambia. Welcome, Larry Brown. No, I'm just kidding. But let's see. Lesse Musama. Did I get it right? Close. Okay. Been here 2 weeks. I've learned maybe one word. So, but anyway, as Pastor Walker Schur said, I'm here from the USA, but I travel a lot. My wife's in heaven, but we raised four children, her nephew and three daughters, and five out of the six from our house are graduates of Rhema USA. My youngest daughter moved to Thailand right after finishing Rhema. She was 17 when she joined, 19 when she graduated, and moved immediately to Thailand. She's been with another Rhema grad who has a mission called LifePak International, and they rescue kids from trafficking, raise them up, get them restored by the grace and the power of God. And so they're doing a great work over there. Another one of my daughters kind of does a lot of the admin for my missionary daughter and myself, so she's a tremendous help too. So I can be here and not have to think about those things. So anyway, that's a little bit about me. Let's see. Prior to traveling full-time in 1998, I worked at Rhema for 10 years as a housekeeper. Prior to that, I was a lieutenant in the Navy, son of a retired Navy commander. Prior to that, I was a university student, went to college on an engineering scholarship, so my life has been kind of here and there, different things. Hallelujah. Praise God. But anyway, the title the Lord gave me for this morning is Prayer So That We Can Be Filled With the Knowledge of God's Will. And Prayer to Stand Perfect and Complete in All of God's Will. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture and we'll move forward. After I pray. Father, we just thank you for utterance right now. We thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit, through me, to each one that's here, but also within them, for your word says they have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One that teaches them all things. And your word promises that whatever the Holy Spirit teaches us, he will bring to our remembrance. So we thank you in advance that since he's the teacher during this hour, they'll learn, but they'll also have it called to their remembrance so they can be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. And it reads here, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," and I'm reading from the New King James Version in case you're wondering, "For this reason, we," Paul and Timothy, "also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Pray for who? "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm going to go to Colossians 4:12, then we'll move back to Colossians 1. In Colossians 4, verse 12, Paul says this of Epaphras. Says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So this letter begins with Paul emphasizing that these believers needed to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In the last chapter, one of the things that's talked about is standing perfect and complete in all the will of God. I think of what the disciples requested of Jesus early in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. And in that prayer was, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. As you know, Pastor Walker Schurz was up here talking about, you know, now we are the temple of God. You know, back in the Old Testament, God's will, his agenda was coming to pass. But guess what? Now we're that temple. We're that holy of holies. And he wants it to manifest through us and in us in this time. Amen? God has an agenda. God has a plan. He has a purpose. I think about Ephesians 2:10. The Amplified Bible says that God has already prearranged our life and things for us. In fact, I'm going to lay out some footsteps here. In Psalm 37:23, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Those in class saw this illustration day and night. And so Psalm 37:23 says, our steps are ordered of the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, God says in the Amplified Bible, I know both the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. God has plans for me. Would you say that with me? God has plans for me. And then the second part of that verse says, these are plans for good. And not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome, depending on what translation you read. But God has a good plan for your life. It started with his goodness that drew you to repentance, as it says in Romans 2:4. It was God's goodness that drew you to repentance. Aren't you grateful for that? He didn't come and chastise you. He drew you in with his goodness. And so, don't expect God to have some other plan for you other than a good plan now that you are his child. Amen? Do you believe that? But, well, I'll back up and ask this. How many of you think God's smarter than you? Well, that's a smart answer. I believe. Praise God. So who's better at figuring out what's best for your life than... I went to 3 colleges before I graduated. I got saved at the first one, and God used a series of events to get me from one place to another place to another place to get me on the track that he needed me on that led me to being here today. That third university I was at, I sat under Rhema grads who had gone to that university. Then they went to Rhema, came back, and began to teach us when I was in a campus ministry at a non-Christian university. And that has set me on the course that I'm on today, standing before you. Is that a good plan? It was hard in the beginning. It was challenging. I had an atheist father, Navy commander, master's degree in engineering. You know, I have a lot of same aptitudes as him, and so he thought, you're going to be a carbon copy of me. But thank God where he pushed me towards the Naval Academy, but that's where I met God. And that's not what his plan was, but that's what God's plan was. Amen? And so it's put me on this path here. We might talk about these footsteps a little bit more in a while. Praise God. I know in my traveling ministry I've been traveling since 94, full-time since 98, one of the top 2 or 3 prayer requests, maybe the top 1 at times, has been, pray for me that I can know the will of God. And these are born-again, spirit-filled believers, some in word churches. And it's like, Lord, what's the deal here? And one comment he made to me was, he said, well, ask them next time somebody asks you for prayer in that area, what was the last thing they clearly know God spoke to them to do? So I'll ask them. Then I ask them this question, have they done it? And that's when the head drops. And what does that mean? No. How do you say no in your other language? What's your other language? How do you say no? I'm getting a big echo, so you know what it is. So praise God. And so that's one reason. And then I like what I heard Pastor Walker say in prayer school a couple weeks ago. He had said that sometimes it's because we're just not spending enough time waiting on God ourselves. Ministering to him, then he can minister unto us. But another thing that can help you if you're frustrated in this area, maybe you feel like you're on course, you're on track, but your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your cat, your dog, your mat, whoever you want to be in the will of God. It's like pray these prayers over them. About 3 years ago, God had me kind of establish a prayer chain. There's a lot of ministries I know around the world, and sometimes they just want that more prayer support. So we focused on these verses for a whole month, just praying over one another. And then back in June when I was in Ethiopia, God stirred that up in me again and just had me pray these prayers consistently over family, ministry partners, churches I'm going into, and then, your pastor asked, what did I have on my heart to minister? And he said, that's perfect for where you guys are at. So God's doing something in the body of Christ. Amen? Where we're out of line, he wants us realign with his will. Hallelujah? One of the thoughts I have here is, or major points, is filled with the knowledge of his will. God wants us filled with the knowledge of his will. I counted 15 New Testament references that states the importance of doing God's will. Even under grace, there's still a plan of God, which is a good plan. Amen? The will of God is still the will of God. God wants us to do his will because it's best for us. In fact, he has great plans for us, already prepared the way. And he's already prepared the way. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible says this, for we are God's own handiwork. Whose handiwork? His workmanship. Whose? Sometimes it's good to say that, to acknowledge that, to recognize that and remember that. It says, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works. What kind of works? Which God predestined, meaning planned beforehand for us, taking what? Which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. Living the horrible life. No, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Romans 4:12, it says this, and talking about Abraham, and says, the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith. The what of the what? Let me hear you say it again. Which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So there were some steps of faith. Steps of what? Faith. Now, so let's say you pray this prayer, God's filling you with the knowledge of his will. But then you still have to take those steps. Amen? Praise God. You still have to take those steps of faith. Hallelujah. I'm all right. No. Yeah. But you still have to, and you won't fall if you do that. Yeah. That would have been so cool if I just would have. Yeah, but anyway, the steps of faith of Abraham. And many of you probably know Abraham's story. Go to a land which you know not, leave what's familiar to you, what's comfortable, your comfort zone. Oh, yeah, you can have a baby and you're already old. And each year he got older, but he still continued to take those steps. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. I work out, so I'm good. Probably shouldn't do that a whole lot, though. But anyway, praise God. One of the things that will help us be filled with the knowledge of God's will is prayer, as I said earlier. Paul said that he and Timothy did not cease to pray this way over the believers of Colossae regarding this matter. Now, this letter, inspired of the Holy Ghost, to be in the canon of Scripture for us to learn today. So if Paul prayed that way for these believers, how ought we pray for ourselves? And maybe you feel like you're on track, as I said earlier, but maybe you have, you know, some people that really care about you and just seem like they're always off and you're fussing at them. Come on. And I mean, God has this good plan. Just, well, sometimes they're hearing it here, but they're not getting it here. It needs to become revelation. I was the first one out of my parents and my siblings, two brothers and two sisters, to come to Christ. My mom rededicated her life, I think, at my wedding of, you know, Pastor Ray McGrath said, do an altar call, Brother Larry. So I did, and people got saved. Hallelujah. And my mom got rededicated. But I had family, all kinds of crazy stuff. Lit shacking up, male stripper, dancer guy, atheists, and just all kind, you know, domestic violence between the sister and boyfriend shacking up. But guess what? They're all walking for Christ now. And all of them had some church background. Maybe there was a decision in there. Maybe some never. But one of the things the Lord started telling me to pray over them was that God would open the eyes of their understanding, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. It talks about God giving people revelation. Amen? The eyes of their understanding being enlightened, or as we might say, oh, I get it now. I see it. Just because you hear it with your natural ear and you maybe mentally agree or assent to it with your natural mind doesn't mean you got it in your heart. And I mean, some of them, every time I'd go to the DC area to minister, you know, they would tag along with me and come to the service. It kind of reminded me of, you know, Mary had a little lamb, you know, and everywhere that Mary went, the sheep were sure to go. Well, they would, but then I'd leave and they'd stop. And I, you know, big brother, I'm kind of, come on, you know, so-and-so, you need to be concerned. I know here, but. And so the Lord said, just began to pray that I give them revelation. And then he said, don't forget about Ephesians chapter 3, where it talks, where Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, that they would be strengthened with might in the inner man. Because sometimes you know what to do. But then the devil doesn't just lay back and say, oh, man, they finally got the revelation. I'm just going to leave them alone. No, that's when he fights you more. And so they need to be strengthened. You need to be strengthened. I need to be strengthened with might in the inner man so that no matter what the pressure, opposition from the enemy, I will do what God's called me to do. Hallelujah. Pray that way for yourself. Pray that way for others. Sometimes less fussing. In fact, no fussing. And more praying. But praying the right way and the right things. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Amen. The will of God is so important. God's agenda for people on this earth is extremely important. But we're the co-partners, the co-laborers, the co-workers he wants to work through. He wants to work in you. He wants to work for you, but he also wants to work through you. In Ethiopia, our motto at the Bible school is we're raising up change agents to change the nation. But the change has to start in you first. Amen. Thy will be done on earth in me first. Hallelujah. You know, those words are more than beautiful lyrics in a song. I'm trying to remember the melody. You know, thy will be done, or however it went. You know, it was nice. Praise God. How'd it go? What were those words in that first song? Anybody remember? Okay. Next time, pay attention. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just playing with you. But God has a good plan. Amen? Amen. Going back to Colossians 4:12 for a moment. Like I said, one of the things that will help us be filled with the knowledge of his will is prayer. And we see in Colossians 4:12 where Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That word perfect, look it up in the New Testament Greek, it can be translated to growth, character of full age. What were those three words or phrases? Growth, character of full age. The word complete, it has the same meaning as what we read in Colossians 1:9, the word filled. The word filled and complete is the same New Testament Greek word. And going back, I'm going to hold my place in Colossians 4, but go to Colossians 1:9 again. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And so in Colossians 4, as we just said, so that word complete is that same word, filled. The Amplified Bible reads this way, that you may be people of ripe character and clear conviction. That means you're really sure. Stand firm and mature in spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything. And how many things? In everything willed by God, is how it reads here. The New Amplified Bible Translation says that you may, as people of character and courage, people of what? So sometimes the reason we're not doing the will of God is because we haven't taken courage. And I know through the years of traveling through the U.S. as well as other parts of the country, the world, but especially the U.S., I've met so many people say, well, you know, God called me to go to Rhema. How long ago? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Have you done anything? No, I was waiting all my circumstances to get right, then we got attacked with this, and I got afraid. But you know, you can pray for others along these lines. Hallelujah. Character and courage, stand firm, stand how? Spiritually mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Then the Weymouth New Testament translation reads this way. Always, Paul, he said, Epaphras is always wrestling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand firm, Christians of right character and of clear conviction as to everything which is God's will. Yeah, you know, I'm not satisfied unless I know that I'm doing all that God has planned for me. By the time I finish my lifely, you know, path, this lifely journey, this course that God has me on, you know, I want to make sure I've done everything, whatever it takes. You know, I was in the military, and you know, I'm just fascinated just studying military men and you know, that aren't even saved, and they're willing to give their lives for their country. No matter what the cost, knowing that they may come back with a limb blown off, an arm blown off, post-traumatic syndrome and all those different things. And I thought, how much more should the Christian be willing to give their all? And there may be many here like that. I know in other parts of Africa I've gone to, I'm just overwhelmed with the testimonies of what some Christians have gone through, and they're still standing. They just have a fraction of the revelation knowledge of God's word that maybe some of you have in a tremendous church like this. But how much more? But, you know, self-will and a quality of decision is not enough. This kind of prayer I see is vital. Amen. I know sometimes in our good intentions, our well-meaning hearts, as we urge and challenge others to, you know, just do all that God's called them to do, be all God's called them to be, you know, human convincing, it's just not enough. It takes the supernatural. And as we pray, our supernatural God manifests in a way people need to be ministered to. Because, I mean, you might think, well, it was easy for me. Well, you may not know their history, their past, the weaknesses, the damage that was done on the inside and the soulish part of their being.
Yeah, they're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but there's other stuff, other issues of restoration that need to take place sometime. And as you pray for them, that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and that they stand perfect and complete in God's will, and you know, they and all these things that we just read about in Colossians 1 and Colossians 4, then God is going to take care of all those unknown issues to us that he knows about. Hallelujah. In fact, going back to Colossians 1 again, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom." In all what? And spiritual understanding. That's another issue. Sometimes maybe God has spoken to us. We've waited upon the Lord long enough where he's revealed his will to us. Maybe it was confirmed through somebody in prayer, or prophet so-and-so called you out in the audience and, you know, shandarabasi kobasan, interpretation came forth and hallelujah. But what about the in all wisdom? Some people jump off half-cocked. They're all excited. They're inspired, on fire. It was confirmed by apostle so-and-so, or it was confirmed by, you know, the mighty Pastor Walker Schurz. And so I know I must go, and I'll accept no. But you still need wisdom. One meaning of the word wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. There's a lot of definitions. There's different new Hebrew and Greek, you know, Old and New Testament words for wisdom, and they mean different things. But so you have the knowledge, but all right, Lord, how do I apply this? What do I do with this? What's the first step? We need that too. So Paul, in his prayers, he was praying that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Didn't say human understanding. What kind? Or natural understanding. I mean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your..." To whose understanding? All right, Lord, is there something beyond my understanding that you want to reveal to me? In fact, in Proverbs 4, verses 5 through about 8 or so, it says, "Get wisdom." In fact, it says it's the principal thing. One translation says the first thing. And with it, get understanding. But not just human understanding, his understanding. Amen? I think about Acts 13, verses 1 to 4. It said there were certain prophets and teachers, and they named five of these gentlemen. And Paul, back then called Saul, and Barnabas were of the five. They were ministering to the Lord, you know, praying and fasting. And then the Holy Ghost said, "Separate them unto the work unto which I've called them." But then the Holy Spirit pointed out to me, said, "Well, did you notice that even after they received that prophetic word, they didn't just immediately go. No, they ministered unto the Lord some more. And then the Lord ministered unto them some more." You know, this is the bread of life. Amen? And we want to get the full loaf of the bread. Whether it's the word or a word. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just move too soon. We want to wait on God and get the full understanding of what he wants to give us. That does not mean you're always going to understand everything in the mind of God right away. There's still the steps of faith. But you want understanding at least for that next step. The when, the where, the why, the how, whatever God wants to reveal to you in that season. Sometimes I teach a course, Submission and Authority in Ethiopia, and I said submission is also in the details of the when, the where, the why, the what, the how, all of that. Because submission has to do with your attitude, so even the why. Why am I doing, what's my motives in this? God wants that right as well. This phrase, all wisdom, that we read in Colossians 1:9 is found four times in the New Testament. I don't have time to kind of go into all the other verses on it, but it's something the Holy Spirit emphasizes, in all wisdom. Hallelujah. that phrase, all wisdom, the word all can mean any and every. Any wisdom from God, every wisdom from God that pertains to your situation. And then that word wisdom is the New Testament Greek word Sophia. And most of the times in the New Testament, if you see the word wisdom, it is Sophia. Studied it out. It's in there a lot of times. And it means special insight. What kind of insight? You could say it this way. God supernaturally enabling you to see what you could never see by yourself. I got that out of Sparkling Gems from the Greek. And I like that book a lot. Spiritual understanding, that in the New Testament Greek, that means a mental putting together. So maybe God spoke to you about this over here, and this thing, and it's like, Lord, I'm confused. I don't get it. Well, pray these prayers, and God helps you tie it all together. Does that make sense? God's not wanting to keep his will from you. I mean, what was the Lord's prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fact that we're instructed to pray that way implies that God's will is not being done everywhere and that prayer is one of the keys to that manifesting. Does that make sense to you? Amen. But as you begin to pray prayers like this in Ephesians 1, you know, Colossians 1, these thoughts that God gave you here that you know, that you know, that you know, this maybe this dream or vision that's the real ones from the Lord that you receive, and this and this and things he's speaking to you from the word, and all of a sudden there's a putting together. A what? A putting together. Is this helpful to you? Amen? Because God wants us to get it. Just put your hand right here and say, God wants me to get it. The fullness of his will. To stand perfect and complete. Firm. Strong. Stalwart. In his plan. In his hand. Amen. Praise God. Just want to make sure I'm staying on track with time. Okay, so, okay. Think I'm in good shape so far. Okay, good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why must we be filled with the knowledge of God's will? Well, I've already alluded to it, but let me read some other verses. Well, one reason he says in Colossians 1 is that we may walk worthy of the Lord. What's implied is maybe not everybody is who's a child of God. Ephesians 4:1 says this, Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says this, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Whose kingdom are you in? Even on this planet, where are you? In God's kingdom. Praise God. Another reason Paul was praying this way, inspired by the Holy Ghost for them, is found in Colossians 1 as well. It says that we may be fully pleasing him. How pleasing? 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this, 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Philippians 4:18 says this, Philippians 4:18, indeed I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. How pleasing? Well-pleasing to God. It reminds me of what the Father God said about Jesus three times in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, this is my beloved Son, but he also said, in whom? And how many want to be like Jesus? Amen? Me. Amen. Praise God. Colossians 3:20 tells us we should train our children this way. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. course, we understand if a parent's telling somebody to do something immoral, legal, or unscriptural, you know, you don't do that. But in general, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Titus 2:9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. You know, I had a student come to me in the last week or two, and you know, you could see tears about in her eyes, said, you know, I'm being treated so unfair in my job, you know, and I pray, and then it seemed like it gets worse, and you know, it's like, am I in the wrong job out of God's will? I said, maybe, but maybe not. And I took her to this passage. I told her, gave her an example of my life. I was in housekeeping at Rhema for 10 years. And about 4 years into it, I got a call from my boss. And he said, Larry, could you come by and see me? Then he said, Phyllis Turner, who's Pastor Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s secretary, she called me concerned about you. I said, really? She said, your work is perfect, excellent, immaculate, not a complaint. But it just seemed like there's something wrong. She just, like a weight was on you. And he said, are you sick? Financial problems, family problems, kid problems, you know, something. Said, no, everything's okay. Everything's fine. And I said, well, okay, I was just checking on you. And I left and I said, Lord, is it that obvious? And what happened was I let other people's criticism of me being in housekeeping gradually erode my attitude. It deteriorated. It was just real slow. It creeped in little by little. And I said, Lord, what's the problem? He said, no grace. I said, well, Lord, I heard that there's no grace. It's time to move on from this place to the next season of my race. And he said, so is it time to move on? He said, no. I said, well, why is the grace gone? He said, I give more grace to the humble. There's some comforting words, you know. And I was like, but Lord, I'm humble. Look, I'm cleaning floors and toilets and all this. And he said, that's not humility. He said, humility starts in the heart. In fact, he said, go to James 4, 6, and 7. Of course, verse 6 says he gives more grace to the humble, resists the proud and all that. And he opposes the proud, one translation. Then verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So he said, if you're not submitted, you're not walking in humility. And then the grace lifts. You've short-circuited that flow. You've unplugged or disconnected. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, look up the word submission. And one of the meanings of the word submission is to yield without murmuring. Well, I was obedient. I was yielding, but there was some murmuring going on. There's some complaining. And I'm not the type to express frustration out here, but guess what? God searches the... In fact, he says in Proverbs 4:23, above all, guard your heart, from out of it will flow the issues of what's issuing out in terms of words and actions based on your decisions, which you've let get in here. And so, I said, Lord, I let that stuff slip in on me. I knew better than that. So I just repented real quick. And guess what? Mr. Grace came back really quick. And I continued on for another 6 years in housekeeping. 6 more years, yeah. But I'm glad God didn't tell me when he put me on that journey it would be 10 years. But, you know, God did a lot of other things in my life during that time. A lot of divine connections, ministry partners, people who went on to pastor that worked with me in housekeeping or maintenance, and now they support my ministry so I can be in places like this. Hallelujah. The divine connections were made in my children's life. So, you know, think about this path you're on as a parent. You have a responsibility not just for yourself, but if you get out of God's will, you're also displacing your children. My daughter, Larissa, who's on the mission field now, she would not have met Lana, who she's serving with, or if she met her, would have been delayed. So you're not in this just for you. But it's for those that God has given you responsibility for. Or like I tell the Bible school students in Ethiopia, you're not just in class for you, so try not to miss class, because you're here for those that God's going to send you to. And what you miss out, that's less you have to give to them. And to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, say, well, I wasn't there to receive it, so it wasn't given to me. No, it was still given. You just weren't in a position to receive it, but it was given. Is that true? Let's say, you know, Reverend Steve Shoup was handing out $1 million to everybody on Tuesday night and you missed it. It was being given out, but you weren't there. And I did hear a rumor that he is going to do that this coming. No, I'm just teasing. But just because you weren't in the right place to receive it didn't mean it wasn't offered or given. So we want to make sure we stay where? On the path. Stay where? With our steps of faith, like Abraham. Galatians 5:25 in the NIV says this. It says, in the NIV, it says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 in the New International Version says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So it's not enough to just know the direction that God wants you on, because sometimes we get excited. All right, this is the path. Hallelujah. And you get so excited and you skip some steps. You're in the wrong place, or you're in the right place, but maybe at the wrong time. God hasn't prepared you for that yet. And maybe he hadn't prepared those people for you yet. And it can get messy when you're not graced to be there with them and they're not graced to receive from you. So in his time, he makes how many things beautiful in his time? And there's a time and season for every purpose. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1, Ecclesiastes 3:11. The guy's trying to put scriptures up for me, saying, that's not in your notes, Brother Larry, but God's grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Praise God. What else does he want from us? He wants us to be fruitful in every good work. Philippians 1:9 again. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all discernment. I've gone to another book, as you can tell. But it says, this I pray, and I'm basing this on what we read in Colossians 1, talking about being fruitful in every good work. But Philippians 1:9 says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. I think about a lady in the Bible that was very fruitful. Her name was Dorcas. Tabitha, she was also referred to by that name. In Acts 9:36, it says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. How many good works? Full of. And charitable deeds, which she did. There was a minister named Ron Smith that I was able to minister with for about a year. He's up in age, in his 80s, and just so happened I met him during that season of his life, and he probably lived about 3 or 4 more years after that. And so anytime we were at a conference ministering together, you know, he would want to sit and talk and just pour into you his wisdom and experience. And he said that one time he remembered the Lord spoke to him and said there was a dear friend of his who was older than him. And he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, your friend's about to go to heaven. If you're going to see him, you need to do it in the next 2 weeks. Well, Ron's up in Kansas City. His friend's in Houston, where Ron used to live and pastor and all that. So he went down to see him, spent about a week with him off and on, you know, visit him every day, visit other family and friends and stuff, and then came back on home. And about a week after that, his friend died and went to heaven. Well, God allowed Ron to see his friend entering the gates of heaven. And, you know, God takes people to heaven, visions, visitations. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 12. John the apostle had an experience like that. The Bible says in the last days, God will pour out his spirit. You'll dream dreams, have visions, Joel 2, Acts 2. etc. So these things still happen. So anyway, so Ron said he was outside the gates and he saw his friend go in. He had this beautiful breastplate on. It had his spiritual birth date on it, not his natural. And he saw him being welcomed and received by his friends and angels, and there was celebration. But then he said the Lord allowed his eyes to see far into heaven to this big warehouse. And he saw these record books. And the Bible talks about all these books of our life. And he said he saw this one book and it had the name Dorcas on the top. And it was fat and full of documentation of good works. Praise God. Amen. And as you pray this prayer over yourselves and over others, you're trusting God that every good work that God's called you to do, you'll fulfill. Amen. And Philippians 1:6 says God's doing a good work in you. Amen. Amen. He's doing a good work in you. It says he who began a good work. Point to yourselves and say, it has begun. And it is progressing. Amen. Or progressing, yeah. But he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So be encouraged. I know sometimes before the students graduate in Ethiopia, Dr. McCall always says, Brother Larry, would you sing that song, you know, to encourage them? And the words go like this. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you. He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in you. If the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you. Safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure. And he finds his pleasure in you. Oh, and he who began a good work in you. In who? He who began a good work in you, oh, he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in who? In you, well. In you and in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Looking at Colossians again, it talks about not only, it says being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Whose power? And for what reason? It says for all patience and long suffering with joy. So you're on this journey, and not every step is, you know, just going to be for today. For example, I get saved up in Newport, Rhode Island in one college. A year later, I'm in Annapolis, Maryland at another university. A year later, I'm at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the Lord kept me there 4 years. And then I'm in the U.S. Navy for 4 years, and then I go to Rhema. I'm a student for 2 years, and then I'm in housekeeping for 10 years. Patience. Why, Lord? My flesh cried out at times. Or sometimes, a lot of times I said, Lord, is it time to go? No. And that was it. No explanation. But just he just kept saying, prepare. He said, just prepare by faith. In fact, he started to tell me to, I want you to put teaching lessons together like you're going to teach in Bible schools. And I'm still, I mean, we clean the light fixtures at Rama's, get scaffold clean, you know, we cleaned everything. In 10 years, I cleaned everything on that campus. The airplane driving out to Tulsa Airport at odd hours of the night sometime because they needed it. They started buying these old houses around the property that looked like they hadn't been cleaned since 1952. Couldn't open some of the windows. They had appliances in there that just all kinds of grease and scum and the refrigerator, the stove. And then you get it as clean as you can. And say, okay, we're going to throw it away and buy a new one. Finally, the Lord said, they're paying you to clean, so just clean. Don't worry about it. You know, that's their decision. You know, they just want to see if it's worth saving. I'm not saying they were cheap or paid me little, but what they paid me per hour compared to buying an appliance, you know, they were doing the math, and it was wiser to have me try to clean it to see if they needed to buy the new thing. So I got that. They were using wisdom, even though my flesh didn't like it all the time. But patience. What?
Patience.
But it's worth it. It's prepared me, it's stretched me to be patient in so many different scenarios around the planet. You know, thank God for a church and a school that's on time. But let me tell you how Botswana went last weekend. Every service started 2 hours late. Patience. Hallelujah. Being a military man too and growing up in a military family, I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late, you know. But God has stretched me. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean that if you invite me out, you show up an hour late. You know. Yeah. But patience. Hallelujah. God is good. Oh, yeah, Holy Spirit just reminded me of that lady that had the prayer request about praying about her job. So I told her, I said that, you know, Ephesians 6, the Bible says, you know, to get the revelation that you're not simply working for man, you're working for the Lord to do your job without eye service, with sincerity of the heart, as unto the Lord, and the Lord will reward you. So I said, I was trying to be merciful, so I talked about two other reasons why she might be having trouble, you know, but then I already knew immediately it was a submission issue. Her attitude was wrong. So I finally got to that one, and that's when she teared up more. And I said, does that apply to you? She said, yes, you know. And I said, well, just, you know, you're here because God put you here, you know. And if you get your attitude right, you get submitted, you're going to find your prayers that you have been praying for them will be more effective. But you're here because God wants you here. Hallelujah. And you're going to have to be patient in the process until the answers of your prayers manifest over those in authority in your life. Is that helpful? Amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Amen. I know my daughter L'Oreal, who does all the administrative things for me, she had worked for a law firm before she started helping us out and was home full-time with her mom and, you know, some situation we were dealing with then, health situation with my wife, and she had left her job to be there. But before that, she was working for a law firm for about a year and a half. I said, well, why there? She said, well, the Lord told me I'm on assignment, Dad. It's two Christians that owned a law firm. That doesn't mean everybody there is acting, living Christianity. So she gets there, and she's a file clerk. Nothing glamorous, but she saw where all their files, their records were just way behind. And the Lord says, start going into work at 7, even though they don't expect you to be there till 9. And you stay until I release you each evening. You finish at 5. She stayed at 8, 9 o'clock at night sometimes. But she got them caught up on all their filings, and she found there was a lot of clients that they had helped that were never sent a bill. So the law firm was not getting paid. Well, and she didn't tell the bosses she was doing that. She just did that on her own. I think maybe whoever was directly above her knew about that. And then she was praying for them. In fact, she loves to pray. So she'd have me, Dad, would you pray with me about this and that? She was at home with us. And so we'd pray about this. And this and that. And God began to give her a word of wisdom, word of knowledge concerning court cases. And she'd go up to him and say, you know, so-and-so, has God been speaking to you? Are you having some trouble or make a decision on this, accepting this client or some direction on helping this client here or whatever? And I said, how did you know? So I was in prayer and God began to just speak to me things. And she, and Aaron was like, well, what else has he told you, you know? And they began to go to her for counsel. You know, one of my jobs in the Navy was I worked with the staff judge advocate at one time, the Navy prosecuting attorney. I did all the investigations for him. And so I said, why are they going to you? I said, Dad, God shows me things. And so it's become a habit. They were coming to me with a lot of stuff, and God would clearly show her. But she acted like she was working for God first. Amen? Well, after a while, they found out about all the extra time she was putting in. So they just began to give her bonuses, don't tell anybody kind of thing, you know. And she was just really getting blessed that way. But then the Lord showed her, in 3 or 4 months, you're leaving here. I want you home. She didn't know why. We didn't know why. And that's a whole other story. But he said, you need to wean them off of you and teach them that if they're, because they're born again, they can hear from the Holy Ghost themselves. They can seek first God's kingdom regarding their business and all that. And so she did that. She was able to leave there cleanly and in a good way. Hallelujah. We're talking about, well, I think I'm going to stop right there. But do you get the point? Amen. God has a will for your life. You can pray for others that way. You can pray for yourself that way. This prayer tells us you can be filled with the knowledge of God's will. How much of it? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God will not withhold that from you. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll freely give it. And then you can also stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Not in your own strength, as we read, but strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for the utterance you've given this morning. And since we ask that the Holy Spirit be the teacher, the preacher, the minister through me, but also within them, we thank you that the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance everything relevant to them, everything that pertains to them now, but also for their future. We thank you for supernatural recall, Lord God. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, Lord, I need to make some adjustments. I understand some things better now. I see them clearer now. Just lift your hand with me. I'm going to pray just a mass prayer with whoever would want to be included and say, so this has helped me, and I see where I need to make some adjustments. And instead of fussing at people, praying for them, pray for myself this way, or get on track myself. If that's you, just humble yourself. As the Bible says, it gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourself and just lift your hand. We're going to talk to God together. I see those hands. Some have two hands up. Just say this with me. Dear Father, I love you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for revealing truth, your will, your word to my life, so that your will and word can manifest more fully in my life. I humble myself. I repent where I need to repent. I submit myself and I say, have your way. Give me the wisdom. Give me the courage. I ask for your strength to do what you'll show me to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if your head's bowed, your eyes closed, maybe there's some here that you're not on the path that God has for you because you've turned your back on the Lord or you've never come to the Lord. And you know it's time. The Bible says now is the time or day of salvation. If you're out here and you need to commit your life to Christ, please lift your hand. Is there anyone out here? Is there anyone? Rededicate your life. make a first-time decision to Christ. No shame, no blame. It's His goodness that's drawn you here to repentance. Anyone. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Hallelujah. With Pastor Walker. Amen. Oh, one in the back. Okay, praise God. Well, just come on up front, if you would. If you would, please. Thank you. There's some wonderful altar care workers here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ted, we're going to pray together, okay? All right. Just say this with me. Say, Almighty God, I am thankful that you sent your Son to die for my sins. I acknowledge that he was crucified for me. He died. He was buried. But you raised him from the dead. I believe that in my heart as I have acknowledged it with my mouth. And I thank you for your Spirit entering my life, that I'm becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new nature washed by your Son's blood. In Jesus' name, amen.